I would imagine for most of you who you look at your phone and you see the date of today, 9/11, you're reminded of an event that happened in our nation that really shook the world. And so just in honor of those who lost their lives in that, I'd like us to pause and just a moment reflect. And we have a video we'd like to show in memory of all of those. How many of you all, when you hear the word redemption, that gives a little bit of sense of peace that comes over you? I don't know about you, but I know exactly where I was when I heard the news that day, and I know the heartache that I felt, the devastation that I saw, but I do also remember all of the heroes rushing in and saving lives and the people coming together, and redemption. Redemption is what God does for us, and this is what the good news is, that there is a God who in the disaster of our sin came to seek and save that which was lost. And so today we can celebrate the fact that Jesus is a God who redeems us from our sin. How many of y'all say that sounds like a good plan? And so we're going to be talking about this for the several weeks. Share it, share it. We got to share it. We got to share the good news with people. If you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, we will start with verse 1. As he writes to the church here at Corinth, he says, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Let's pray. Lord, this morning, as we look at the good news of the gospel, I pray that you will help us to be clear on what that is, who you are and what you came to do. And we thank you, Lord, that you are a God who saves and redeems and restores and renews. Lord, help me to preach plain today. I realize that there is a judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to have a little bit of confessional time this morning in church. What better time, to be honest, than in church? All right? But you got to play along. You got to play with me. Some of you may be hesitant. You may have the temptation to sin right here in church. Some of you may not want to raise your hand when I ask this question. But here's the question. You ready? How many of y'all use social media? Raise your hand if you use social media. Let's get used to raising our hand. Here we go. We're warming up. Now, there is something on social media called filters. How many of you have ever used a filter to make yourself look better? Raise your hand. Oh, we got some honest folks in here. Some of you, you're lying. Not me. And so they got filters and different types of social media to make you look better than what you really are. That's why, guys and gals, you better watch out. That picture you may see in that profile, that might not be the real thing. And so we got these filters that make things look better. And we got filters that make you look, if you want to be tan, you can make your skin look darker. You can make your skin look, take the wrinkles out. You can make yourself look younger and slimmer. And all this stuff, you can fix yourself up real good, right? They even have filters. Have you ever made a filter where you made yourself to look like a dog or a cat? Anybody raise your hand if you made yourself look like some type of crazy thing. Okay, so they got all these type of filters that change. And this morning, what I want to talk about is the gospel, the profile picture of the gospel, unfiltered. The gospel, unfiltered. You see, the problem I think that the church has today is we try to put filters on the gospel. We try to make it look a little better than what we think it really is, because like the blood that we sang about, how beautiful is the blood that cleanses us from all of our sin. I think that's a good story, but that our culture might say, oh, we can't talk about blood. That's offensive. So we put a filter on that. Let's take away the blood. Let's make the gospel appeal to us. So let's put some filters on it, and let's put a filter of prosperity on there, where that if you just come to Jesus, then everything in your life is going to work out, and it's going to be a bunch of gumdrops and candy. How many of y'all know that's a filter? And so there's multiple filters that the world and even the church tries to put on the gospel, but Paul comes and he says straight up, you all need to know the gospel in which you've received, what that is. There's confusion even among the evangelical church today about what the gospel is. Well, I'm not going to preach to a church and pastor a church who doesn't know what the gospel is, okay? So we got to know what the gospel is. And so if you're going to come here and hang out at Living Water Church, you're going to be clear on what the gospel is. And so Paul breaks it down real simple. We see there in verse 3, for I deliver to you as of first importance. That means primary. This is the foundational of everything that we believe in. This is of first importance. What I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance to the scripture. Now that Christ died, that lets us know it's a historical fact. You all know that it is a historical fact that there was a man by the name of Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified on a Roman cross. That is a historical fact. Historians attest to that. That's in our history books, or it used to be in our history books in school. I don't know if they do that anymore now in our schools, teach history. But in history class, it will say in the history textbooks, there was a man by the name of Jesus of Nazareth that was crucified on a Roman cross. Now, Paul says that Christ died, historical fact, for our sins, theological significance. This is where the people put filters on and try to make it say, well, maybe he didn't. Because when you say that Jesus died for our sin, now you're recognizing that Jesus was a sin offering on our behalf. Well, now, a good and loving God would never have done something like that. No, God the Father sent his Son to die for your sin and my sin, in accordance with the Scriptures. He takes it back to Scriptures. He takes it back to the Old Testament. What were those texts? I don't know. He doesn't reference those, but maybe it was Isaiah 53:5 where it says, but he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our sin was laid upon him. Maybe it was that one. Maybe it was Psalm 22 when it says that he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Passages in Daniel could be Zechariah, Genesis 3:15, when I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That Jesus died for our sins according to the Scripture. Not only did he die, and he then goes on and says, and that he rose from the grave, from the dead. The resurrection is of utmost importance to the gospel. That lets us know Jesus, he was a man in history who died. He was a man who died for our sins. He was raised on the third day, lets us know that that resurrection was a one-time event that has eternal consequences, that he's alive forevermore. God is not dead. He is alive. Jesus reigns. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. We serve a risen Savior. He is alive according to Scriptures. Well, which one? Maybe Psalm 16:10, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. Isaiah 53:10, where he says, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring, looking forward to the resurrection of Jesus. He shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days, and he will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The gospel. What is the gospel? Lest we be confused, unless we try to put filters on there that makes it not what it is. It is that Jesus died for our sin. He rose again. The death, the burial, and the resurrection is the good news of the gospel. And every man and woman needs to hear the good news. And so, as we're going through this series called Share It, we're trying to communicate, and I'm trying to give you some resources, some information, a dialogue, scripture text that you can use as you share with people. So we're going to go through a presentation once again of like, what is the gospel? How do I communicate that gospel to someone? I'm going to give you some references, some scripture. It's not going to be on the screen, so you might want to get out a notepad, a pen, and you might want to start jotting these down. So that you can go back and look at that again. But the question might be, if I need to share the gospel with someone, how do I even begin that conversation? How do I get in that conversation? You know, I don't want to just go up to somebody and say, hey, you know what the gospel means? Here's what I've noticed. How many of you all ever look at the news feed on your Facebook? Anybody? Maybe it's on your Twitter, maybe whatever social media. Now, how long does it take to scroll down your news feed to find something that is broken in the world? How long? Not long. It's likely that the first news feed you come up will be one. And if you just scroll down one swipe of the finger, you'll probably see two, if not three. It's not hard to look at our world and see devastation, destruction, death, brokenness. In fact, I'm going to go out on a limb. I bet you will have a conversation with someone this week in which someone will bring up something negative that has happened in the world. I bet there's going to be a conversation, maybe of something that's gone on in the world or even in their own life, something that has been broken or something that's led to death. And when people begin to make statements like, man, can you believe? I mean, some of the stories I've read just this week, can you believe a mother would kill her own children? Can you believe that someone would just go shooting up people in a park? Could you, I mean, like, just name it, just scroll through and say, can you believe that? And when you hear someone say, can you believe that this would happen? You say, yeah, you know, isn't that awful? Isn't that devastating? You know, God's original design wasn't meant to be like that. In God's design, he created a world. We know in Genesis 1 and 2, he created a world where that we would love him, serve him, follow him. It was a place where we could enjoy his fellowship. And God's design is one that he cares about you. Why? Because you were created in his image. In fact, humankind, was made in the image of God. We are the apex of his creation. And so that means he cares about you. He cares about your family. He cares about your kids, your parenting. He cares about your marriage. He cares about your job. There's everything about your life he cares about because he designed you and he made you and he made you to love him, trust him, enjoy his fellowship, and steward over his creation. That was God's design, that we would walk in fellowship with him. But man's got a problem, don't we? And that problem is that we depart from God's design. Now, how many of you have ever departed from God's design? How many of y'all have said, okay, God, I know this is the way that you say that we should live, but I'm going to live something. Go to the next slide, please. We depart from God's design. In Proverbs 14:12, it says this. You all should know this verse. I hope you know this verse. The first service hurt my feelings because they didn't know this verse. But I say it a lot, so you should know this. I'm going to see if you can redeem the first service. You ready? There is a way that seems right unto, but the... We got third service. There's always third service. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end leads to death. That's departing from God's design. That's saying, God, I think I know how to live my life better than how you have designed my life to live. And so I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to go my own way. And how many of y'all discovered that when you go your own way, it leads to dead things? Romans 3:23. Does anybody know what Romans 3:23 is? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many have sinned? All. What does all mean? Everyone. That's you, that's me. We have all sinned. Well, now let's put a filter on that because that sin, that's negative. That makes me feel bad about myself. Let's put a filter on that and say, I don't sin, I make mistakes. No, you sin, right? You sin. Let's have the gospel unfiltered. We have all sinned against God by departing from his design. Romans 6:23 then, because all of sin, and Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. That's the first part of that verse. We'll get to the second part in a second. The first part is, for the wages of sin is death. How do I know that everyone sins? Because everyone dies. death has a 100% rate of success. 100% of the people born, unless Christ comes back, will die. You will die. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, you're going to die one day. Oh, man, we don't like that. Pastor, you're making me feel bad. I thought we were supposed to hear about some good news. Well, we got to get some bad news first here. We got to know the reality of where we stand. Let's don't put a filter on it and say that we're alive when we're really dead. Let's don't put a filter on and say that we have no sin when we've all sinned. Huh? Let's don't put a filter on and say, well, the way that I live is right for me. No. If it goes against Scripture, it's sin. And we've all done it, okay? We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, all of us. So we have a problem. We've departed from God's design. We've all sinned. And all of that sinning, departure from God's design, it leads to death and brokenness. That's why everything looks the way it does in our world. It's broken. It's dead. It's dying. The moment you're born, you begin to die. This world is decaying. It's dying. God's design leads to life. Our design leads to what? God's design was wholeness. Our design brings what? Brokenness. Now, we all know what brokenness looks like in the world. In the world, brokenness looks like, it looks like tragedy. Go to the next slide, please. Tragedies, cancer, disease, natural disasters, murder, greed. It looks like our newsfeed. That's what it looks like. Looks like chaos. It looks like brokenness. It looks like in our life, it feels like, next slide, please. Shame, fear, guilt, remorse, rejection, and emptiness. That's what it feels like. And so what do? Well, man, instead of running to God, we keep running away from God, and we try to fix ourselves, right? We try to feel that emptiness. We try to be a better person. If I can just be a better version of me, right? How many of y'all have heard, I'm just my best me? Your best you, the best you is dead. How can you? I'll be spiritual. I'll be religious. Now in Kentucky, it's the be a better person is the religion of people's choice. It's the I'm going to be a it's called good old boy religion. Yeah. Y'all heard of that, right? If I just be a pretty good old boy, I'm going to go to heaven. As long as I don't do, you know, those major sins. If I don't drink, smoke, cuss, or chew, or go with girls that do, I'm going to go to heaven. Be spiritual. Just hey, it doesn't matter what faith. Just embrace the faith. Embrace a God. It doesn't matter what God it is. Just embrace it and be sincere. As long as you're sincere, you'll make it. How many of you all know that you can be sincere and sincerely wrong at the same time? So sincerity has nothing to do with it. So I'll make more money and I'll become wealthy and I can give to charity and I can do all this good stuff and we can't fix our problem. You know, the majority of Americans, you know how the majority of Americans think you get to heaven? By dying. Most Americans think that everybody's going to heaven. When you die, everybody's going to a good place. Have you ever been to a funeral of someone and they said, poor guy, He's probably burning in hell now. Huh? Come on now, gospel unfiltered. You ready? You did. You won. That's one out of how many? A lot. Because most of them what? Oh, they're good. And some of them, you know, ain't the truth. Gospel unfiltered. Here's the thing. If we die apart from Christ, we will spend eternity in a place called hell. That is not a good place to be. And guess what? God does not desire anyone to be there. God has provided a way so that we might be redeemed. That's the good news of the gospel. And so when our brokenness finally hits us, you know, brokenness seems like a bad thing sometimes, but in actuality, it can be a good thing because it can make us realize that something's got to change. And there's a time in a person's life when it's like they just get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Any of y'all begin, you know, just get sick and tired of being sick and tired? I'm tired of dead things. I'm tired of broken things. I'm tired of walking in death. I need something to change. Those of you who've been through recovery programs, what's the first step to recovery? Admit you got a problem. You finally realize I am a sinner, and if I am a sinner, I need a Savior. Lord, help me. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. So here's the gospel. Here's the good news. Here's what we share. Here's the good news, the gospel. That Jesus, God's Son, he came to give us life and to make us whole. He came to give us life and make us whole. Now, how did he do that? Well, Jesus was God in flesh who came down out of heaven and lived God's design perfectly. Jesus never sinned. But the Bible tells us that Jesus died for our sin. Some scripture that we have. With that, we get it. It's 1 Corinthians 15. We opened up with that. Jesus what? Died for our sin, according to Scripture. Rose, was buried, but rose again. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. That was the first part. Now let's get to this part. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When I'm talking to someone and I use Romans 6:23, I have to emphasize one word, and that word is gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Why gift? Why emphasize gift? Because you can't earn it. You can't buy your salvation. And you can't earn your salvation. It is a gift. And when a gift is given to you, what must you do? Receive it. Colossians 2:14 says that Jesus took our sin when he was on the cross and he nailed it to the cross, doing away with it. 2 Corinthians 5:21. That Jesus became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. And so, when Jesus was on the cross, he took my penalty. The wages of sin was what? Death. How many of us have sinned? All of us. So what's all of us going to do? Die. And die and be separated from God for all eternity. Jesus said, I'll take their place. I'll die in their stead. I will live the law of God perfectly, and I will take their death sentence so that they don't have to die so that they can live. And so Jesus died the death that I deserved so that I might receive life. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and then guess what? He rose again according to the scriptures. So not only did Jesus die for our sin, but Jesus rose again for our salvation. Romans, 1 Corinthians 15, that's that same verse. He died for our sin, according to scripture, and rose again. Romans 1:4, let me read that to you. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Peter 1:3, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So at the cross, Jesus died for our sin. In the resurrection, he rose to give us life everlasting. Somebody say, that sounds like some good news this morning. Jesus. It wasn't just the fact that it was a cross that he died on. It was the man on that cross who was the perfect Son of God who bore our sin. And when he rose from the grave, he proved that he was indeed the Son of God that had victory over death, hell, and the grave. And because he lives, those who believe in him, though we die, yet we what? Live. That's good news. So if I'm sharing this with folks and they're talking about the bad stuff and I'm like, you know, that's not God's original design. God's design was that we would walk with him in fellowship where there would be no more, that there would be no death and dying and curse because he cares about us. We're the apex of his creation and that means he cares about you, your family, your marriage, your parenting. But man's got a problem. We depart from God's design and think that we know better and we go our own way. And the Bible calls that sin, and sin leads to death and brokenness. And the Bible says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the good news is that we don't have to stay in dead things. We can become alive. God sent his Son who lived a perfect life, lived God's design perfectly. He died on the cross. He bore our sin. That's your sin. That's my sin. And the Bible says God placed our sin upon him at the cross and he paid for our sin. And then he was buried and on the third day he rose again, proving that he was indeed who he said he was. And the Bible tells us that if we will repent and believe, I added, and receive this gift of grace, will be saved. Now, what does repent mean? Repent means to change direction or change your mind. Now, if you were going to hop on 64 and go to Lexington, and then you see a sign that says, Moorhead, 15 miles. What do you know? You're going the wrong direction. And so in order to get to Lexington, what must you do? Repent. You must repent. Repent means saying, I'm going the wrong way. And then, not only do you change your mind, but you do what? You change direction. So you go down off the exit and turn around, right? Or if there's no cars coming, you do a legal U-turn right there through the median, right? Whatever you do, you change your mind and you change your direction. And you say, I got to get on the right path. So when we repent of our sin, that's what it means. It means that I'm living my life in such a way that I'm heading down the wrong path. I'm walking in selfishness, greed, pride, arrogance, sensuality, pleasures. Everything that God says to do, I'm doing opposite, and I'm going, and all I'm finding throughout my life is brokenness. Yeah, I may have success, I may even have a lot of money, but there's emptiness. I may have a lot of stuff, but no family to share it with. And so you're going down this road, and you're broken, and you're empty, and it's all dead things, and then you hear that you don't have to live in that. You can have life, purpose, peace. You can know the God who made you. Jesus died for you. he rose from the grave. And the Bible says in Mark 1:15, repent and believe the gospel. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Ephesians 2:8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no man should boast. So what do? You repent, you say, Lord, I'm tired of dead things. I believe that Jesus died for my sin. I believe he rose again. Save me, Lord. I change my mind. I believe that you are who you said you are, and I believe that you died for my sin and that you can make me whole and you can give me life. And now I turn to trust you, love you, follow you, and walk in your original design for my life. And that process then is a process of recovering and pursuing God. I labeled it being redesigned. If you are a believer in Jesus, you're redesigned. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, all things now become new. Ephesians 1:13 tells us that when we are believers, that we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. And then in John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. He came to lead you to a life of brokenness and destruction. But I have come to give you life and life to the full. What changed when you became a believer? You received the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God now lives in you, and the Holy Spirit's desire and his job is to glorify Jesus. And so when you're a believer, guess what? You're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you've been redesigned to worship him. Amen. And when we've been changed and made new, then we pursue God's design. When we pursue God's design, Ephesians 2:10, if you were at VBS and helped with VBS, you should know this memory verse. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God beforehand prepared that we would walk in them. Philippians 2:13, he says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Hebrews 12, verse 20, now may the God of peace who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever. Amen. He has made us new, and he has placed his Spirit in us so that we might live a life of constant pursuit. And in John 6:29, Jesus is with the religious folks. And the Pharisees are asking him this question. What can I do? What must I do to do the work of God? What is it that I need to do the work of God? And Jesus says, here is the work you must do. You ready? He said, to believe on whom the one that sent, that was sent. Believe that God sent him. Believe. So what does pursuit? It's loving and living for Jesus who gave you life and made you whole. What does a constant pursuit of following Jesus look like? Loving and living for Jesus who gave you life and made you one. Oh. The Holy Spirit lives in me to make much of Jesus. The Holy Spirit desires for your life to make much of Jesus. The Holy Spirit desires for your life to be one that walks close to Jesus, that honors him, that glorifies him by the way you live your life. It's living in the life of the gospel rather than the brokenness of humanity. Pursuing God, living in the life of the gospel rather than the brokenness of humanity. Constant pursuit. It practically looks like some other things too. Matthew 28, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. What does pursuit look like? Following Jesus and believers' baptism. How many of y'all think baptism is important? It's important. Why? Because it's your first act of obedience after being saved that confesses the reality that you are a new creation. And Jesus said to be baptized, so if we're going to follow Jesus and we need to listen to what he says, we need to be baptized. Some of you this morning, you may be a believer, but you've never been baptized. We're going to invite you to say, hey, I need to be baptized. I need to confess my faith through believer's baptism. Pursuing God looks like reading the Bible. Why is that important? It's his voice. It's his word. If you want to hear God speak, open up the Bible. Read it. Speaks every time. That means connecting to a church family, being part of a church family. Why? Because no one's a lone ranger. We're in this together. We're better together. We can accomplish more together. The Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves. Daily living your life by God's design and telling others the good news of Jesus, right? Telling others the good news of Jesus. Pursuing God, sharing your faith, sharing, talking. There's so much. I mean, there's so much wrong with the world. I mean, you could have a list that long, right? Man, look at all of the opportunities to start a gospel conversation. Somebody shares something in your life that's broken in their life. Take them to the answer. The world needs the gospel news. The greatest need for humanity is not to be married, not to have kids, not to have a nice job and to be successful and live in a nice place and drive nice cars. That's not the greatest need. The greatest need of humanity is that they know the God who designed them. That's what people need to hear. And so this morning, guess what? You've got to decide. You must decide. John 3:16, we know John 3:16. Church people know John 3:16, but I'm telling you, the lost people, they don't know John 3:16. They see a guy holding up a sign in a baseball game or a football game that says John 3:16. They think it's a buddy looking for John in row 3 sitting in seat 16. But John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. What does it say? Whosoever believes in him. Who's a whosoever? Huh? Us. You're a whosoever. If you are a whosoever, this morning, guess what? God desires you to be saved. He sent his son to die for you. If you don't know Jesus this morning, he invites you to salvation today. Whosoever will come, let him come. I don't know where you stand with God this morning, but here's what I know. That if God is speaking to you and he is telling you, hey, be saved, I would listen. I would listen to the Holy Spirit and I would call upon the name of Jesus and be saved. And Christians, we got to share it. The gospel, unfiltered. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. We thank you for what you did on the cross, for taking my sin. Lord, I know I don't deserve it, but you died for my sin anyway, and I give you praise. Not only did you die for our sin, but you rose again on the third day for our salvation, making it known that we will have everlasting life in you. And so, Lord, today, if there's someone that does not know you, would you speak to their heart? God, may they come. And those of us who are believers, may we pray for those that we know who need you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Hey, let's come today. Let's come. You need to be saved this morning? Come. You need to be baptized. You've never followed him in baptism. You need to let us know about that. Whatever it is, would you follow Jesus and what he's saying to you right now at this time?